You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Hey, buddy, you gonna eat that sausage?
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Tell me something, my friend.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the role?
Ladies and gentlemen!
Your complete attention, if you please.
The Epic Film Guys Podcast. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another brand new episode of the Epic Film Guys Podcast. A short one today. We're getting in.
Epic Film Guys Podcast.
What the hell?
Epic Film Guys.
Where'd that come from?
I was trying to be your echo. Was that a natural echo? Like a reverb type of effect?
I am, of course, Nick.
And I'm Justin, and we are the Epic Film Guys Podcast.
We caught him taking a sip of his beer.
Yeah. We're here to talk about nothing.
Yeah, about literally absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, this episode, of course, releases on May the 17th. May the 18th, Justin, is a kickoff for live stream for The Cure 2.0. 30 hours of live stream content from your very own Epic Film Guys, and we've been shoving it down your throat like a lot. Not shoving it down your throat like
I sucked the dick last night.
Not down your throat like that. Shoving it down your throat is that we're talking about it day and night, every single day, every single week here on the podcast. But just in case this is your first time listening to the show and you managed to make it past that little hiccup of Justin saying he likes to fondle flesh shafts, I had to think of like a way to say penis without saying penis there.
Trying to be PC now. Trying to be PC. I mean, how do you talk about the male genitalia while being... I guess you could say it that way. Call it that. That's PC, right?
You could.
I guess.
I could just pull that sound clip from Varsity Blues where it's just James Van Der Beek listing off like 36 different names for the penis, like all in one shot.
Why is that not on the soundboard yet?
I don't know why that's not in the soundboard.
It's like one of your... Man. You love that movie? One of your favorite movies from the late 90s, right?
It is. I love that movie. It's a really, really good movie. I didn't add that to the soundboard, Justin, but I did add this. I did add this, and I really, really... I figure you'll get a kick out of it.
Yes! Oh, my God. Tommy needs to be the Joker.
When he says Joker at the end of it, that's what always gets me. Every goddamn time. No matter how many times I hear it.
I watched that video like, I think, 10 times the day that it was released.
Oh my God.
I just kept sitting up putting it on over and over again because it's so funny. So, I mean, really.
Yes. It's something.
I mean, he's probably a better Joker than that dude they got playing on Gotham, which surprisingly after, I know we don't talk about much television, but Fox just canceled like a shitload of shows.
Oh, yeah.
And they kept Gotham. So they canceled Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which a lot of people loved. Then they're keeping Gotham, I guess, for one more season. So enough people are watching that, I guess.
Snapped up like literally what the next day?
It did, though.
I think.
Yeah, in a couple of days, yeah. I guess the whole idea was to bring back Tim Allen's show, Last Man Standing. I guess there's a lot of Trump supporters out there that just love watching those kinds of shows, and that it's got to be a show for everybody on there. So I really don't know because I never watched Tim Allen's show.
It wasn't a bad show. Like I saw, like Ada watched it because she would watch it on like reruns at Hulu or whatever. It's just a non-offensive family show. You know what the funny thing about the show is? Yeah. There's not even anything that's like overtly like offensively right wing or left wing or whatever.
Okay, that's what I was curious about.
He is a conservative. Like he is a manager or owner or whatever of like a sporting goods store. So he
hunts. Okay, I know that much. Yeah.
And whatever. Like that's literally like, oh, he doesn't like Hillary. I think is like he didn't vote for Hillary or whatever. Like the show's not overtly political though. It's just like a show about a family. Just like most other shows are just shows about families, like different types of families
funny.
Everywhere.
I mean, what I did recently, Because I kind of thought about this. I'm like, a lot of other shows, and I know we don't talk a lot about television, like I said, but a lot of other shows had this nostalgia that comes along with it. Yep. You know, even your favorite, like Saved by the Bell, that, you know, I know how much you love that. You love Full House, you know? But a lot of people are like, why is there no love for nostalgia with Home Improvement? You know, like, no one talks about that show. Everyone talks about all these other
shows.
Love
that show,
so,
man.
I'm like, I mean, it's on Hulu. So I sat down and I watched like the first five episodes, and I kind of get why the nostalgia is not there. It's a very weird show to watch as an adult, like in 2018. It's very 90s, but it's like, I don't even know if I understand what they were going for with that show at the time. I guess just a lot of middle-aged men.
I don't think the 90s have come back around yet.
Know.
80s is the 80s nostalgia is still in full swing.
I mean, I know Roseanne started in the 80s, but it was mostly a 90s show, and that's like a huge, you know, rebooted, and so it did well.
Roseanne's still really good too. The reboot's really good, even though, except for Lacey Goring or whatever the hell, like the original Becky, but she couldn't act in the show like originally, like the first time around, so she's still pretty cringe to watch, but I still love John Goodman. I still love Roseanne. I still love Laurie Metcalf.
I need to catch up. Sorry.
It's still got some really good episodes in there. A couple of them were schnorrers where it's just like, oh, God damn it. But, you know what? And I think the funny thing to think about it is like Roseanne's this loudmouth and she's this Trump supporter in the show. And she's outspoken about her political views. But the show is very, very not so subtly. They're really not subtle about it. But it's really finding ways to also be about inclusiveness and love and peace. Like the most recent episode, like her new neighbors are Muslims.
I saw a thing on that.
So there was a whole thing about it, but like, you know, by the end of
and
it,
I guess she insisted on that subject matter. I heard
probably, I wouldn't doubt it, but you know, it like, I think it just goes to show you that you can get to the heart of something and you got to look past, I voted for X or I voted for Y. Like, it doesn't matter who the fuck you voted for. Everybody's still people and everybody still deserves respect. Everybody still deserves like to be given a shit about. Like, you can't just pigeonhole people into a box and like, oh, you're just a fucking gun loving scumbag right winger. Oh, yeah, you're just a fucking piece of shit libtard lefty. Like, you know, people that fucking pigeonhole people into boxes like that. And if you're one of those people and you listen to this show, fist yourself. I'm not on the soundboard right now, so I couldn't push the button fast enough. But you don't be that kind of person.
True, man.
Be open, be loving, be caring about everybody, even if they are different from you. Look at this.
Everyone's beliefs,
tattooed
their religion,
motherfucker
how they
I'm
look.
Staring at here. I don't have
hey,
all those.
You keep
tattoos.
Quiet. You keep quiet. It's for real. Like, I really do think of it. And, you know, when I'm talking to my daughter, you know, she's in middle school. She's going to go into high school next year. And, you know, you've got two sons that, you know, they've gone through high school and one of them's still in high school. And it's like, it's that middle school mentality. I feel like, oh, well, you're a punk or you're a white trash kid or you're a this or you're a that. And you label people. It's like, dude, that's so childish. But that's just, I think, what our country is. And I don't know what it's like in other countries, but I feel like we're like the only country that does that. But not to get political on the show. I'm sorry to any of our listeners that are new on the show. Yes, we are the Epic Film Guys podcast. So I'm going to get to some.
Going to talk about fucking movies.
No, I'm not going to get all political here, even though I feel like, Nick, you could do a political show. You should go over on to Michael Vasquez's show. No sound bites
like,
allowed.
He does live gigs on Facebook now. I've seen. I haven't checked
does he really?
Yeah, he does.
Ladies
he does
and gentlemen, this is
Q&A's.
A guy that we used to work with, and we used to get into film debates with, and he always disagreed with us, even
literally,
when we were right.
Literally, yeah. always disagreed with us. But before we get off TV, Justin, since we're already talking about television, couple new things to add to the live stream for The Cure. Ashley,
oh boy,
formerly of the Rabbit Ears TV podcast, unfortunately folded for now. Hopefully she'll find her way back behind a microphone because it was really fun. I went on for Glee, Lost, Arrested Development. Speaking of which, she's going to be joining us for the live stream for The Cure to talk about Better Call Saul Season 3. Of course, the prequel to Breaking Bad, legitimately one of the best television shows ever created. I don't care who you are. If you say it's not, you're wrong. Period. It just is. Maybe it's not your show. Maybe it's just not the kind of thing for you. Maybe you just don't dig it, whatever. But you cannot deny the utter class and just brilliance of its acting, its direction, its writing. It's all fantastic. So Better Call Saul is the prequel to it, where they focus on Jimmy McGill, basically kind of transforming his character
Saul.
into Saul Goodman. And
yeah.
God, season 3 is good. Just finished.
I haven't gotten there, man. Man. The wife and I started watching it, and I mean, we fell in love with it because it was at the time we were like, man, we just need that Breaking Bad fix. And while it leaves you still wanting more of Breaking Bad, it's a good filler, I think, for it. And the character's so good. He was always a great character on Breaking Bad, and it's such a great part of that puzzle. So I doubt that I'll be able to watch season 3 before we record the live stream.
I wouldn't even try it, but it's, the great thing is it does still dip its toes into that Breaking Bad world. It always kind of lets you know it's connected. Giancarlo Esposito comes back this season as Gus Fring. So he's back this season. And
well, he needs the work, that dude.
Hector, right? You've got Hector Salamanca is a big player in it and everything. And of course, Mike. Jonathan Banks.
You do... Yes.
So, yeah, and Mike
he's in everything. He's in everything.
He is utterly incredible. Jonathan Banks is absolutely amazing. And of course, Bob Odenkirk at the center of it all. Bob Odenkirk is legitimately, like, when you watch him in Breaking Bad, like, he's good. Like, you really love him and you get a kick out of him because Saul's like the comedic character. But when you watch him in Better Call Saul, like, the dude's got serious fucking dramatic chops. It's crazy how good he is in the show. It really is. But also, Justin, I also checked out Arrested Development Season 4, The Remix, which they're calling...
We started watching it.
Did you? What do you think so far?
I watched through the first episode, and then Danielle watched, because she was like dead set on, I need to watch them now, as soon as we got home on Friday. So I watched the first one, and I was like, interesting take on it. Things feel smoother, honestly, but I haven't watched enough of it to really get myself into it deep, but I mean, it definitely starts off the way that I would hope compared to seeing Michael at college with George Michael, and it feels more natural for the series, definitely. I don't know what did you think?
I agree with you 100%. It feels more like the old show, and the problem that season 4 had, and we've talked about it on this show before, I know at one point or another, I talked about it with Ashley at length on Rabbit Ears TV, but they couldn't get all these actors committed to the same schedule for too long of a period of time because they're all, you know, in high demand. Tony Hill is huge on Veep. Jeffrey Tambor was at the time huge in that Amazon show where he got kicked off of because he's a perv or whatever. I don't know. I listen.
But back. He'll be back for the new season. He'll be back for season 5.
Yep.
Yeah, so, man.
You know, so all these actors were just, you know, pulled off in every other direction. And so they could only get them together for very, very small pockets of time. So what they decided was they were going to make long form episodes, 40 minute episodes. And they were going to have them focus on one character and they were going to be chronologically split all over the place. And the problem is you have these Arrested Development characters, and the heart and soul of that show was always those characters interacting together. Those characters playing off of one another because they were all just so brilliantly cast. And season 4 removed that. Now, the new season 4, The Remix, it helps that. There are still those cringe moments of season 4 which just do not work. Like Maria Bamford's character, Debris, doesn't work for me whatsoever. Lindsay's one boyfriend character, the guy with face blindness, like, that doesn't work for me. There's still elements of season 4 I think that don't work, but on the whole, Ron Howard did all new narration for it, and it's a much tighter 20 minutes or so, just like the original series, and they don't focus on just one character. It's chronologically cut, focusing on all the different characters at once. And you get to, okay, right, this storyline's boring, but oh, now they're going to cut to something with
it's
somebody.
It's the way it should be. It's what you expect. And I get why so many fans complained about it. Yeah. Even our own Loy Sauce, the God of Podcasting, he was saying that season 4 sucked. And I'm like, I disagree with you completely. I think there's a lot of great things about it, a lot of great elements that didn't just totally gel together. But I think there's still a lot of great things there. It still makes it an enjoyable season. I liken it very much to, you know, I talked about on the show, went through, watched Curb Your Enthusiasm all the way through. And the last season was like many, many years delayed from the most previous season that came before it. And you do feel differently when you get into it, 'cause it's been like a lot of years and it's shot differently. It feels differently. It's got a different style to it. But it's still a good season. It's just, is it as good as the last one? No.
Yeah.
It's still fine. It's still enjoyable.
I think this gives me hope for season 5. I'm really excited for season 5 now because they showed that they still know what made the original show work in the first place. And I mean, frankly, you know, it tells you how, you know, the importance of a great editor. and the importance of a great storyteller to be able to take all the parts of a whole and assemble them into something great. And I'll agree with Loisance in execution. I think the execution of season four of Arrested Development sucked. There are, like you said, some really, really great elements to it. And I think the good thing about this remix is that it jumbles all that stuff up. So the stuff that's painful, you get to sandwich it in between stuff that's not painful and that's good. And you don't have as many of those episodes where some of those character episodes, you're just sitting there like, oh my God, like, where's Lindsay living on a fucking ostrich farm? Who cares? And you don't get that. You get that. I mean, obviously that's still a pot in the season, but it's not like this 40 long minute. Yeah. Thing where people, things, whatever. Weren't we supposed to talk about the live stream for The Cure 20 fucking minutes ago?
We were.
God.
We were supposed to.
When are these assholes going to talk about movies?
But I'm going to say something real quick. I'm going to get into something that happened today. Unfortunately, this is something that I'm going to have to talk about because it just happened yesterday. Margot Kidder, man. Margot Kidder. That snappy... she was just such a firecracker. She passed away yesterday at the age of 69. We don't know, as of right now, the details to how she died, but she's gone. And she's a huge part of my childhood for the main reason that most people remember her as Lois Lane.
Yep.
In, you know, Richard Donner's Superman. And most of the sequels, she was Lois Lane in two of the sequels.
She very briefly appeared in three.
Right, for like a minute. But I know her best outside of that from one of my favorite slashers, Black Christmas, and she was also in the Amityville Horror. She was a great actress. Every single film that I saw her in, Nick, she really shined through. Like, even in some of the bad movies she was in, she was always fantastic, and it's such a shame that she passed away. We don't know what was going on yet. I know she battled with bipolar disorder, and for a brief time, she was dealing with some bad housing issues. She was homeless, and you know, her career didn't really go the way I think she wanted it to go. If you look through her filmography, you know, she did a lot of small bit parts throughout the years, especially in her older age. But I always loved her. And
she even popped up on Smallville a couple times.
She did. Yep. That is correct. She definitely did. So it really hit me hard. I mean, like, I always kind of thought of her a lot like a Carrie Fisher, you know, like they both had that spunk, you know, they both had that attitude. They were very strong women, and they both portrayed strong women in their characters and their films they were in. And we just did a special event this last December where we showed Black Christmas, and I specifically talked about her in my introduction when I introed the film, and watching her on the big screen. I'm glad I got a chance to do that, Nick, see her on the big screen in all her glory. So 69 years old, man. I mean, she wasn't young, but it's, you know, we're losing a lot of big names these days.
Yeah. Yeah, we absolutely are. I mean, we did a retrospective back before Batman versus Superman came out. So over 2 years ago now, where we looked back at the entire Christopher Reeve set of films, where we talked about, you know, her performance definitely in those films. And I mean, obviously you can't, I don't think you can think about Margot Kidder without thinking about the role of Lois Lane. It did define her, like, no matter what else she did. But you're exactly right when you say, like, she was kind of one of those early kind of archetypes, you think, when you think about the strong woman, the strength of character that a woman can have. You know, of course, she did end up being a damsel in distress in some ways in those movies, but in other ways, like, she really, really had a strength of character and a conviction that I don't necessarily think we've gotten to see from the Lois Lane character since. Of course, Case Bosworth with I didn't even say her name right, and I don't care, because she was so bad in Superman Returns.
She's horrible.
And Amy Adams is fantastic in the two films that she was in, or three films she was in as Lois Lane, but she never got the kind of focus that Kidder's Lane did. Really, she never really, really got that focus. And like, yeah, this, the absolute strength of that character, she'll always kind of be that quintessential Lois Lane. I think whenever people think of Lois Lane, they think of that spunk. Like you said, they think of that fire. Like, she had an opinion, and she was not afraid to tell you about it. She was not afraid to share it with you, you know? And yeah, really, really great character, really, really great actress. And yeah, she'll definitely be missed. So rest in peace, Margot Kidder. Yeah, 69. Damn.
It's crazy, man. But hey, again, she still has a legacy, and I'll still look forward to watching her every year during Christmas time in Black Christmas. Whenever I watch the Amityville Horror, she's fantastic. And of course, Dick Donner's Superman. And even maybe Superman 2. Because I still enjoy that.
You just don't have to watch the third one, because not only is it an utter and complete piece of shit that Richard Pryor was basically just, they thrust him in it, they shoved him in it to make him a computer hacker or whatever the fuck, and God bless Richard Pryor. He was a genius and an amazing comedian, but nobody in the right mind was ever going to buy him as a computer hacker. But I guess that's just how little we knew about computers back in 1980, whatever.
And Nick, I still enjoy four. Those fingernails. Lester,
like, she, come on. Fuck you and those fingernails. God damn it. Fucking nuclear man. Oh, shit. But yeah, nuclear man. She was in that movie for like legitimately like 1 minute because she hated Richard Lester. Like legit hated him. And he hated her. So it was like, nah, we don't need no Lois Lane in this movie.
Yeah. One of my greatest memories, and we'll move on from this after this, is I just have to say, whenever I watched her in interviews, Nick, like any interviews that she did in the 90s, and I guess she was open about her bipolar disorder. But in interviews, she would sit there, she'd have a drink, she'd have a cigarette, she'd just be chain smoking. Like, she was Margot Kidder. Like, who gives a fuck? She didn't give a fuck.
You compared her to Carrie Fisher, and I think that's a very apt comparison because she was the same kind of person. Like, she did not give a fuck what you thought about her. She would, like, legit, just like you said, she would just sit there and just be like, yeah, whatever.
I only regret the fact that she did do conventions. She stopped doing them the past couple of years, you know, the years that I started doing them the most, but I never had the chance to step up to her table and talk with her and get an autograph and picture and actually get to meet the legend. So, unfortunately, I don't have that opportunity anymore. So, yes, rest in peace.
All right. Well, we are actually going to run into a really, really quick break here on the show. We're going to play that live stream for The Cure promo, and we're going to be back to talk a little bit more about the event that is to come. We've got a trailer coming tonight in Epic Previews, and we didn't even get to talk about booze yet. That's how kind of off the wall this episode is, but it's not going to be very long, but we're just going to throw it all at you.
Yeah. We got a lot going on.
You get what you get. Listen, if you mouth off, you get this. That's right. Wait.
Oh, Chucker.
I don't think that'll ever get old to me.
It will never get old. No, like I said, never. When I lose it, I laugh every time when I get to the end of it. It's like, Chucker.
I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, to all of our longtime listeners and new, one day, Tommy Wiseau will be on the show.
Oh my God, please.
We'll get him on here. We'll get him on here, I promise. I would
love it.
Greg is still supposed to come on. Who knows what's going on? He's hanging out with Voice Sauce.
Can't even get his fucking headphones to work, let alone get a guest on the show.
It's supposed to happen. There's some things happening.
We love you, Loy Sauce. Loy Sauce was supposed to be with us this evening as we were going to record the Harry Potter spotlights tonight. That's been pushed, unfortunately, to tomorrow. But yeah.
Technical difficulty.
No, that was just the soundboard. Never mind. I got excited there for a moment. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and run into a quick break, ladies and gentlemen, and we will be
right back.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Justin. We are the Epic Film Guys, and we'd like just a moment of your time to talk about an extremely important event coming up this May.
Last year, we hosted the live stream for The Cure, a 12-hour live stream fundraiser where we raised $2,500 for the Cancer Research Institute.
86 cents out of every dollar raised goes to research toward finding a cure.
And this year, we're aiming to smash that goal, and we need your help to do it.
Join us from May 18th through the 20th for 30 hours of amazing live stream content from us and a whole host of amazing podcasters who will be joining us to try to reach $5,000.
For more information, please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com. Together, we can make a difference.
This week in Epic Film History.
We're referencing Emily from the Classy Little podcast. She's a little bit too classy to come on the Epic Film Guys podcast, so just make sure you listen to her show. They drink very fancy drinks and talk about fancy things. She's too classy to
come on. They don't talk about fancy things. Their last episode, they opened talking about Jerry Springer at a taping of the episode they fucking went to.
Hey, in my day, Jerry Springer was classy.
Can we start doing really shitty script rewrites like Chris Stuckman?
Oh,
Dude, me and Brian had a huge talk about that. Oh my God.
I remember, dude, we never even talked about that, but my God, was that fucking hilarious.
He bashed a movie so bad that he wrote a script rewrite that was even worse than the fucking movie he was bashing. Oh my God.
Tell that to Zod's snapped neck. Fucking Christ. Holy shit. His dialogue was atrocious. Oh my God. Oh, it was bad. It was so bad. It was hilarious.
Honestly, for a guy that has a lot of fans, and I respect him because he is a Rotten Tomatoes certified critic, he put a lot of work in to get there. I don't have anything against him. For someone that I actually respect for putting in the work to get there, dude, he made himself look like an ass with that. He shouldn't even have done that. That's out of his realm, man. He's not a writer, dude.
Tell that to Zod's snapped neck. That was like, yeah, I just thought that was hilarious. And I thought it was funny that you and I never talked about that, but... Oh my God, that was fucking bad. But that's like the weird thing for me is because like I was definitely a writer first. Before I ever did any film criticism or anything, I've always been a writer first. And like even I don't take it upon myself to try to do that kind of stuff. I write my own stuff and that's my stuff, but I would never like try to write like a fucking like 2-page treatment to make Civil War better in my eyes or whatever. Like, holy fuck.
Well, you wouldn't because you already liked it a lot.
A lot of these people that love movies, you know, they watch movies, they are critics, they're movie critics, they think all of a sudden they're experts about everything film related and that they could write a better movie. And yeah, that's like kind of like what you were saying there. Like, that's born out of that.
Tell that to Zod's snap fucking neck, you motherfucker.
No, see, that would have made that line even better.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for hanging out with us here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. And Justin, it's time for a little time on our tradition here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. We're going to talk about
what are you drinking? Here she comes.
What?
Watch out, boy. She'll chew you up. Oh, yeah. Beer, right? Alcohol.
We love
that's
cock.
Right. What? Drink. We drink booze. The
somebody
beer.
Say penis in there? Did I hear penises?
No, I did not. I was saying that you need to watch up, boy, because here she comes. She's a man eater.
No.
She'll chew you up. Yeah, all that whoa. Nonsense.
No, that's not the way that song.
Whoa, whoa, here she comes.
Jesus,
here she comes. Watch
man.
Up, boy. She'll chew you up. Yes, I.
Points,
I'm gonna
judges.
Jump,
zero.
I'm gonna jump right in.
Point zero. Mm,
damn it.
Mm, goom, goom. I am drinking.
But I didn't even play this song yet.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Do it.
I'm back. Puke and rally. Give me a beer.
Just for that, Nick, I'm going to throw it to you first.
Aww.
Because I want to be a gentleman. I'm going to be nice about this. So
you're
I'm,
a sweetheart.
What do you got? What are you drinking?
Well, I don't know what he's laughing about.
Joker.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I had it last week on the show. Justin, unfortunately, he and I last week couldn't get them goddamn schedules to work out properly because I got called into work and worked a call out overnight. And he went to a show for Dance, Evan Dance, I believe it was called, Dan said. Dan was super jealous.
Yes,
he
and Under
it.
Oath.
Yep.
Yes, I saw a couple of bands I really love, so it was great.
Dan loves Dance, Evan Dance, so he was super
he
jelly.
He does, yeah.
And but yeah, I had it last week on the show. It was super young in the bottle at the time. Now it is a week more aged. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hopesters chocolate milk. And my God, is it delicious. It's got that little bit of creaminess on it. You get that cocoa and you get that toasted malt, little tiny bit of coffee in there. Just... I mean, like, legit, and I don't try to pat myself too hard on the back when I brew beer. I shit all over my own beer a lot, but this is fucking good. Like, it's a good stout, and I'm really, really happy with this. I am making this again, and I am going to bourbon barrel age it next time because I really, really want to taste this after it's sat with bourbon barrel chunks in it for a few months or whatever. But it's really, really good, and I have over a case of goddamn beer for Justin. Whenever he gets back up here.
Well, hey, my wife's bottled. Supposed to be up there this weekend. I don't know. She might be coming up, so maybe she'll get back in
we'll
time
see.
To give me some beer when we finish
we'll
up
see,
the live
man.
Stream. I don't know.
We'll see, man. But the important thing is I did bottle the Cascade IPA for the cure. That is ready to go. I'm going to crack the first one of those bad boys when we start the stream at 6 o'clock on Friday, the 18th of May. Literally, if you're listening to this on release day, it is tomorrow. Tomorrow. So prepare yourselves. Prepare your assholes to be reamed harder and deeper than they've ever been before. Wait a minute.
What? Oh, my God.
What are we doing?
We never said we were a PC podcast. We never said this. So if you're scared, you better
I figured I would throw the My Girlfriend Sucked 37 Dicks right into the new intro just to kind of prep you right from the get-go.
Man.
So you know exactly what kind of thing you're getting into. Okay. But, Justin, you haven't been on the show, with me at least, in a week. So I got to know, what have you got guzzling into thy gullet this eve?
Well, on this eve, thy eve, I am guzzled down my gullet.
This is our version of Classy. Little podcast featuring Emily and James.
Aslan Beer Company, Sensei, double dry hopped, triple IPA. Okay, this beer is the big brother of the master of karate. It's fermented on their house yeast, hot to the Mosaic, Amarillo, and Galaxy. Oh, notes of citrus, mango, pineapple, and pine with a very creamy mouthfeel, sir. What's that word again?
Mouthfeel.
Yes. I like to say, think of candied oranges. It does not taste at all like it's 11.1% alcohol by volume. It's delicious, Nick. It is fantastic. And wow. I think that I've drank like 8 of these in the past 4 days.
You're not my fucking mother.
Well, I don't know what that has to do with literally anything, Denny. Gee, I hate how he just like butts in here.
Foul language. I can't believe I'd come on such a show.
If the Lisp were here, he'd come on such a show. Wink, wink.
He'd come all over your fucking face.
Get it? Ah, I did a thing.
Hey, try not to suck any dick on the way through the parking lot.
Oh, God. Come on now.
Speaking of sucking dicks, Justin, it's time for Epic Previews.
In the world of Endicott, New York, and Herndon, Virginia, two Epic Film Guys dissect the latest movie trailers in a segment we like to call Epic Previews.
I'm just going to push this over to your side of the table and let you roll into this, baby, because I know you've been super excited about it. I know this is on your most anticipated films of 2018, Justin. Tell us about The Predator.
Well, man, this trailer caused quite a stir on social media and in the fan community, particularly a lot of crybabies, man. A lot of people are really hating on this trailer for Shane Black and Fred Decker's The Predator.
A lot of people
think so. A lot of people really can't accept that, you know. All right, so this movie's going to be different. I had a feeling it was going to be different. After Shane Black did The Nice Guys, I was extremely excited for anything this guy does. Okay, that was one of my favorite movies of that year.
That is.
And it's one of my favorite movies of the past 5 years. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's got great banter, great actors, everything. And Shane Black is in the original Predator. So you'd think that he'd be the right guy for the job. I love Fred Decker. I love the Monster Squad. I love Night of the Creeps. You know, the guy's had some career problems, but he wrote the initial treatment for the Predator. And so this movie is about a young boy accidentally triggering the universe's most lethal hunter to return the Predator to Earth. And, of course, a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers have to take on the Predator and then, you know, fight it and shit happens. And as Lay Sox likes to say on the show, hijinks ensue. I think right off the bat, Nick, knowing that you're not a fan at all of the Predator franchise, a lot of Predator fans are forgetting the simple fact that this is, you know, how many films into the series? We did a small poll on the page the day that this landed, Nick. I'm not sure if you saw it or not, but I wanted to ask our Facebook friends what they thought, what their favorite Predator sequel was. And I purposely omitted the Alien versus Predator movies because, number one, they're shit. Number two, they're garbage. Number three, I should take a large dump all over them. They're horrible. They're nothing redeeming about them at all. They're not fun. I literally went to see them both opening night in the theater. And hey, hated them. But I mean, Predator 2 has some good things about it. It's got, dude, it's literally got Danny Glover fighting a predator. I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all, but that's what happens when Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't want to do the sequel. And then we've had Predators, which is pretty much a rehash of the first film, but different characters, and Adrian Brody's in it, and he's good, and Danny Trejo, and it's
watch
fine.
Out for Godzilla!
It's fun. We get to see different Predator creatures, but none of them live up to the first film. And again, I know, Nick, I'm going to repeat this. I know you don't like the first film, but as a big fan, I'm like, this is way far after all these sequels, after two shit movies of aliens in them. Why are fans so hateful towards this trailer? What are they expecting out of this? I mean, Predators already attempted to do the same thing the first film did. And Predator 2 basically tried to do an interesting take on, hey, let's see the Predator in the city instead of in the jungle. I don't know what they want. For me as a fan, I want something fresh a little bit. I want something different. And what this trailer, I guess you could call it a glorified teaser, Nick, is it showed me some footage of something that looks different than what we've seen before and looks fun. And we know that Shane Black came out on record and said he was not interested in doing a Predator movie when the studio basically said, hey, we'll give you a decent budget for this. We'll play it like it's an actual big budget movie, like a big action movie, and give you something to work with. So he then agreed to do it, and off they went, and this is what they made. Now, there's been rumors that there's been some production problems, such and such, blah, 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 and they've reshot some stuff, or, you know, they did some test screenings that didn't work. But for me as a fan, everything that I saw so far at least got me excited to see a fun Predator movie in the theater.
I think they're attempting hybridization. They're upgrading on every planet they visit.
We need to know if you pose a threat.
We're assassins. Isn't posing a threat kind of the point?
I'm gonna ask the other Predator, the hateful Predator fans, to come just come over here for a minute. Nick wants to have some real talk with you, okay? Just come here for a minute, okay? Predator sucks. Get over it. But I will say this, as somebody who's not a fan of the franchise, which I am not, I really am not. I love my 80s cheese. I love my 80s like machismo action kind of stuff. This for me, no, doesn't work for me. But I will say, I watched this trailer tonight before we recorded the show. It's a non-trailer. It's just a tease. It barely gives you the tiniest taste of anything. Are you mad that you didn't get to see the vagina mouth thing with the teeth? I'm sure it's in there. I'm sure they'll take the helmets off at some point in the movie. It'll happen. I promise you, you'll get. Maybe that's what it was, Justin. The fanboys didn't get to see the vagina thing with the teeth popping out on the sides here, where they can like look at it and maybe they get excited, like they're gonna stick their peepees in it. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't really know.
I don't know. See, I watch it as a person who's not a fan of the franchise. I watch it and it looks like an action blockbuster to me. That's all it looks like. It doesn't look like it's trying to look like a specific, like a Predator movie or whatever else. It just looks like it's trying to be like, okay, check out this action movie. Like, is that not what Predator is? Is that not what Predator is? It's just like,
it is.
Predator,
I mean,
murdering people and shit blowing up and then he gets muddy and dies.
So the film's got a good cast. Honestly, dude, I mean, it's got a lot of people are like, it's got Thomas Jane, Olivia Munn, it's got fucking Jake Busey, it's got even, dude, it's got Key from Key and Peele in the shit, Edward James Olmos, it's got Castillo from fucking Miami Vice in the shit. I mean, it's got a ton of people in this movie. I think a lot of fans are complaining, a lot of people in general are complaining, what's with the kid? It's so stupid. The kid sets off the device that brings the Predator to Earth. That's so dumb. I'm like, well, that's Fred Decker for you. Then my next argument is, do you like Monster Squad? Oh, I do. Okay. Well, this feels like Monster Squad. It's Jacob Tremblay from Room. Not The Room. Not the movie we talk about all the time on the show. The Room. Room. You know, with Brie Larson and Jacob Tremblay. He's a great young actor.
What a story, Mark.
It's true, but no, sorry, Tommy. We're not talking about your movie. We're talking about another movie called Room. All right, but I feel it feels fun. And I feel like it's going to bring new people into this franchise and not just old fucking 40-year-old somethings that I saw Predator in the theater when it was released. I get those people because I'm one of them too, but let this be something a little bit new and fresh. Be open-minded and just wait till you see it in the theaters. I don't usually do this. And I hate to be a hater. I'm not a hater. But there's a page that I followed for many years that I respected. It's called The Terminator Fans, okay? And I followed it because I'm a huge fan of the Terminator franchise for the most part, you know, minus all the shit films. But their page just, after this trailer hit, Nick, they just continued to bash it, post pictures from it, and just be really ignorant about it. And I know sometimes you like to hate on some stuff, but, you know, we like to give things a fair shot on the show.
Give everything a fair shot. Always.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. At least we can talk about a movie before we see it and give our fair opinion on it. But, like, I'm not going to go out and bash something constantly on social media or on our Facebook page or on our Twitter without seeing it first. It's like, be able to say, well, if it is a piece of shit, it is because I saw it and I can tell you it is. They're just like, literally, it's not going to be rated R. It's trying too hard to be this for that. Like, dude, just wait until you see the movie. If you plan not to see the movie, that's one thing. But you know what? 9 times out of 10, those people complaining, Nick, they're still going to be there opening night in theater seats paying the price of admission to see it.
Of course they will be.
Like, end of story.
Like I said, this is not my franchise. I definitely am not a fan of, I've never seen the sequels even, so I didn't like the first one. So I was like, no, I'm not going anywhere near any of that nonsense. But, like, I watched this trailer and if it just didn't wow you or anything, like, dial it up a notch. Like, it's a teaser. All it's meant to do is just kind of be like, hey, this thing's coming and you get to see stuff blow up and there's monsters and stuff in it. That's it. Like, I mean, wait till exactly. You see a full trailer, wait till you see a full story trailer, whatever, or just, yeah, wait till you see the fucking movie in the theaters. I might even love it. I doubt it, because the Predator is one of the biggest pieces of shit I've ever seen in my life. It's designed like a fucking giant vagina with teeth. Whatever. I might still love it. You never know. It might be.
How dare you? How dare you talk such hatred against Stan Winston and James Cameron's design? The beautiful, one of the best creature designs of all time.
I love you, James Winston, but I have never been a fan of the Predator's creature design. But even, like I said, that notwithstanding, this still might be something decent. But like I said, I don't see what the hubbub is about this trailer. I don't see what it is. I don't get it. It was fine. It was a teaser. It teased me and said, hey, there's a Predator movie coming out. End of story. Now I know there's a Predator movie coming out. We've got one more trailer that we've just got to review in Epic Previews tonight before we say goodbye and end the show. And of course, I am talking about the brand new sort of teaser. Would you call it a teaser? Really?
It's a glorified teaser because it's longer than a normal teaser. It gives you a lot of footage. You see a lot. There's not much dialogue to be had. I wouldn't necessarily call it a full trailer.
Yeah.
But God, did this just blow people's minds today? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the first teaser trailer for Bohemian Rhapsody, a film that technically has been in the works for almost 10 years. There's been talks of a Queen biopic or Freddie Mercury biopic for a long time, even dating back to when Sacha Baron Cohen is supposed to be in the role of Freddie Mercury. But yes, this is a movie a lot of people are excited for. And I got to tell you, Nick, this trailer hit. I was sitting there waiting. I had read last night that it was going to land at 9 a.m. Eastern this morning. So, of course, me sitting at work, I'm like, I'm going to go take a shit at work at 8:55. So when I'm on the can, I'll be able to post the trailer to our Facebook page for all of our followers and friends to see. And that's what I did.
Done, ladies and gentlemen.
And it landed right at 9, and I got to get it from you right off the bat, man. What were your initial thoughts on this?
Blown the fuck away, man.
I knew
this
it.
This is easily one of my most anticipated films of the year anyway. And I mean, let's let him out of the bag now. We gotta let the cat out of the bag early. We know this is a Bryan Singer film. They didn't mention it at all in this trailer, shockingly. But we know that Bryan Singer directed it. And Bryan Singer, he does period pieces really well.
He definitely does.
And yeah. I mean, you can just feel there's a magic already that you can feel about this film. There's a magic about Freddie Mercury as a person. There's a magic about him that I think this film needed to capture. And I think just from this teaser, it's evident that they did. Just those, like, there's so many just great shots of Rami Malek as Freddie Mercury in this trailer that are just kind of mind blowing, like really just kind of mind blowing.
So I actually want to go ahead and pitch this over to the god of podcasting himself, ladies and gentlemen, the
Choss,
the sauce, the A1.
Loy sauce.
A1 motherfucking loy sauce. Achos.
Loy sauce. What did you think of this trailer?
Well, I was very impressed by this trailer. Nick, I hate to correct you, but Bryan Singer did not direct this film. It's a Dexter Fletcher movie.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's a Dexter Fletcher joint. It was supposed to be Bryan Singer, but he was booted from the project.
He filmed a lot of it, actually.
He was fired with like what they had, like 95%. And no, they were already in post. They were already in post when Singer was fired. I don't know if they reshot any of it. Did they reshoot any of it? I don't think they reshot any of it. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think the director credit is still, I don't know what the studio is going to do, because I don't think they can remove Singer's name from it.
Well, yeah, from what I had read, Singer was almost done with it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right.
But they can't remove Singer's name from it unless they reshoot like a significant portion of it. Like think the Superman 2 debacle. That's why Richard Lester had to reshoot a whole shit ton of that movie.
Yeah, that's right.
So
no, yeah,
I don't know what the studio is going to do. Bryan Singer in the same, because I don't think that they're going to reshoot a ton of this movie. So I don't know. I don't know how much of it was done when they fired Singer, but I know that most of it was in the can. So
not to get in the way of what you have to say, Boy Sauce. Let's make this clear. A lot of people hate on Bryan Singer, and he's a fucking flake, man. All right, let's make this clear. He's fucking weird. He does some weird shit in his personal life, and he's made some bad movies, but he's also made some really good to great movies, a few movies that I really love. And it's not entirely impossible that he made a really good Queen movie. Now, I mean, the question that I have, I mean, this footage doesn't really give you anything else other than the visual style. This movie looks slick. It looks like rock and roll, which it should.
They nailed the period setting from the get-go, you can tell. The main thing
I took away from this, other than the visual flair of this thing, is Rami Malek, who looks like the second coming of Freddie Mercury. This guy is nailing it. He's nailing the voice, the presence, the mannerisms, everything you think of when you think of Freddie Mercury. If you watch, like the Live Aid event or any live footage or anything of Queen, you think of Freddie Mercury a certain way, the same way you think of Michael Jackson or you think of any other iconic, like the Beatles. In this case, Malik is nailing it.
So now what?
This is when the operatic section comes in.
Oh, the operatic section, yeah.
Mamma mia, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me. For me.
It goes on forever, 6 bloody minutes.
I pity your wife if you think 6 minutes is forever.
Agreed. I've watched season one of Mr. Robot. I've not watched season two yet, but he's a tremendous talent, and I think he's the spitting image. I mean, he looks almost exactly like Freddie Mercury.
I mean, now that you see him in this role, could you ever honestly picture Sacha Baron Cohen doing that?
Yes.
I don't know.
I could. I love Sacha Baron Cohen.
Because Freddie Mercury is a very attractive man. I think Sacha Baron Cohen is a really great comedian, a really decent actor, but he's not that attractive in the sense that Freddie Mercury was. And I think that Rami really, really is, seriously, just saying it. And I'm a guy saying, I'm a guy and I can say that another guy is good looking or not.
Gay.
Don't even get me started there. I'm not the one spitting my loy sauce on other people, but.
Jeez.
No, I think that there's a lot of hype behind this. Nick, it's on your most anticipated of the year. I think a lot of people were just really intrigued to see what they were going to come up with. And like I said, reservations, of course, because we don't really know anything about the movie other than, okay, it's going to be, it looks like traditional biopic, like from start to finish, from rags to, you know, riches and their trouble stages and everything, like everything that you want to get out of a good movie about an iconic band. So.
Yeah. I just hope they don't. There have been reports that the film is not going to touch on Freddie Mercury's homosexuality and his dealings with AIDS and all of that in the movie.
I mean, I don't see how it cannot, because the film reportedly the film ends like right before they play at Live Aid in 1985. So I don't see how it can't.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You can't make a Freddie Mercury movie without delving into that, or a Queen movie, I should say. So it's my hope that they don't shy away from that. I mean, Bryan Singer himself is a gay director, so hopefully those reports are just a load of bollocks and that the movie is actually going to actually deal with some of these issues.
There's no way. I really honestly, and if they do, it would be a huge, huge, huge disservice. Like a really, really huge disservice.
And apparently, you know, part of the reason why this film has been delayed for so long, they've been trying to get this movie made for so long, because the surviving members of Queen are very protective about how the story should be told and exactly what is and is not portrayed in the film. So, again, a lot of compromise probably had to take place. So I really hope they treat the material with respect and dignity and what, you know.
I mean, with any biopic, they take liberties, and a lot of them, they take a lot of liberties. And I think as long as it nails that core of who Freddie Mercury was, because let's face it, I mean, it's about Queen is making money off this. They want it to be about Queen, but Queen is Freddie Mercury. I mean, once you take Freddie Mercury out of the equation, Queen isn't Queen without him. That's just the simple math of the matter.
You had mentioned before, like, the reason why this film sat in development hell was because of the band. Because, like, I still remember when Sacha Baron Cohen did an interview on the Stern Show I listened to a couple years ago. Essentially, the band wanted the Queen biopic to be two parts. The first half would deal with Freddie Mercury, and then, like, he would die in the middle of the movie, and then the second half of the movie would just be about Queen, like, after he died. And I love Queen, I love Freddie Mercury, but nobody, and I mean nobody, wants to watch a Queen movie without Freddie fucking Mercury in it. Nobody. Literally nobody.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and being a vocalist, you know, for half of my life, and metal bands and hardcore bands, many people in the music community consider Freddie Mercury one of the, if not the best rock lead vocalist of all time. And I mean, this is the movie that's needed to happen for a long time. I mean, we've had biopics for plenty of other musicians, you know, Ray Charles, James Brown, you name it. But this is the one, I think, for the rock crowd. We haven't gotten that Led Zeppelin biopic. We haven't gotten that Beatles biopic, at least not on a quality level. And I think this is the one. And I'm hoping that this is really good, or good enough where we get more of these, because I love these movies. I mean, these are the types of movies for me that I really look forward to.
I mean, it's
especially around Oscar season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to get Freddie Mercury right, which I have full faith in Rami Malek. I've never seen Mr. Robot, but he was one of my favorite parts of The Pacific, that HBO miniseries that they did.
He was also one of my favorite parts of Night at the Museum, starring Ben Stiller.
Oh, my God.
God damn it, Loy Sauce. There was that, and then they've got the immortal music of Queen, you know, for all the changes that music has gone through in the past, like 40, 50 years, kids today, everybody today, when you hear Queen, you still know Queen.
Dude,
you
my
still
daughter
recognize
loves it.
Queen.
When it comes on the radio,
they're one of those bands that
and
is legitimately like eternal. Like
brilliantly remixed in the trailer, the mashup of all the different Queen songs.
Loved it.
Here's the question, though. So a lot of people are talking about, obviously, the elephant in the room. Is he overdubbing any vocals? Is he doing any vocals? It didn't sound. It just sounded like Queen to me. It sounded like Freddie Mercury's vocals. I don't think he's doing any of the vocals himself. I know there's rumors that he went in and did some stuff, but I didn't hear if it's supposed to be in the trailer.
At least not from the trailer.
Yeah, we definitely couldn't tell from the trailer, but I guess we'll just have to wait and find out. I mean,
when there's literally like thousands of popular musicians right now, and a lot of them, like, for example, I saw Panic at the Disco live 2 years ago, and they covered Queen, and they did a great job. But I still wouldn't even ask to hear that voice as Freddie Mercury. Like, I would just rather have him lip sync in this situation. It makes no sense to me, because Johnny Cash is one thing, Ray Charles is another thing, but I mean, dude, it's Freddie Mercury. Like, no one else sounds like him on the planet. No one else had ever sounded like him, or since.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see what they decide to do.
and how they actually decide to use Queen's music in the film. I guess it'll really be, there's a lot of questions still up in the air. We don't know a lot. I actually did some reading, Loisos, while we were talking here. Apparently Singer finished 2/3 of the film, and basically it's up to DGA whose name gets put on the film. But I mean, like, really, Singer has a strong case to come in. I mean, he was fired for whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he has a strong case to come in and be like, I shot 2/3 of that movie.
Yeah, no, you're right. I
don't know.
I was mistaken. I remember reading a report that Dexter Fletcher was brought into.
I thought it was actually much closer to completion than 2/3. But I mean, you know what? As long as that production drama does not affect the final quality of the film, and we still get an amazing, amazing film, because Freddie Mercury and Queen deserve an incredible, just beyond words, epic biopic. Just beyond words.
Definitely. Agree 100%. So that's it for the, I would again call it a glorified teaser trailer, because there's a lot of footage, but there's not much dialogue. It looks fun. It looks slick. It looks fucking rock and roll like it should be. And I'm extremely excited for it. It actually lands on November 2nd, which is my wife's birthday. So I guess that's what we'll be doing on her birthday, because she watched it and she looks super excited for it as well. So yeah, but that's it for Epic Previews, though. We got nothing else for you.
Yeah, that is it. That's it for the show, for the most part, ladies and gentlemen. Now, again, if you are listening to this on release day, first of all, thank you. You guys are amazing. Thank you very much for sticking around and loving and listening to the Epic Film Guys. We do this shit every week, all the time, even though we shouldn't have this month, because A, we didn't have shit to talk about, and B, like, I'm so busy, so busy playing in the live stream for The Cure. I just could not give my full. Ron Swanson has a great quote in Parks and Rec where he says, never half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing. And I whole-assed the live stream for The Cure, and unfortunately it left the Epic Film Guys to not have a whole lot of stuff to do. That's why this episode is just very brisk. It is what it is. But we love you guys. We absolutely, absolutely appreciate you guys hanging out and giving the show a chance and giving us a listen. If this is your first time listening through and you made it this far, first of all, congratulations. You win the prize. What's the prize, Justin?
Maybe I'll send Epic Film Frog in the mail to you dead after we kill him for obnoxiously ruining our lives. I don't know. He didn't show up this week. I think he's preparing himself for the live stream, because I think he thinks he's going to be a big part of it. I don't really know.
God. Well, we know the hoster thinks he's going to be a big part of it. He's already said as much on the show of late.
Yeah, he thinks so.
But yes, live stream for The Cure. Ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time listening to the show, or if you've listened to it every single week and you hear us talk about the live stream for The Cure, we know you're tired of hearing about it. We don't care, because it's going to be an amazing event. 30 hours of live stream content from May 18th through the 20th, 6 p.m. tomorrow. If you're listening to this on release day, we're going to kick things off, Justin. We've got Randy and Tommy, the miserable retail slave, kicking us off for the first hour. Paul from The Countdown, Heather from Sunshine and Power Cuts, Dina from Twisted Philly. We've got Adam from Odd Dead Out. We've got Perry and Lindsay, and I can't stress enough to go down into the show notes, because this event is about a bigger idea. This event is about raising money for cancer research so people don't have to get sick. People like Perry, who has been such a huge supporter of the Epic Film Guys, of Restaurant, and just great, great people. And to get diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, legit, like, they planned out their live stream for The Cure block like a week before that. And then to get a stage 4 cancer diagnosis, I know he started chemo and radiation, and, you know, they've got the GoFundMe. That link is down in the show notes. But, you know, that's the kind of reason that we want to do events like this, because of bullshit like that. Enough's enough. And, you know, we're going to raise a ton of good money, $5,000 for cancer research. And we're going to help the Cancer Research Institute fucking smash it, and so it never has to come back and nobody ever has to fucking put up with it ever again.
I couldn't have said it better myself, my friend. Can't wait for this weekend. It's going to be a blast. We're going to be killing it with a bunch of other great people, a bunch of other great podcasts for such a great cause.
Amazing.
And we are most already... of us have all been affected by. So really, we can all relate.
Do you realize, Justin, as of right now, between merchandise sales
and all of the donos that we've received in early donations right now, we've raised half of the money that we raised last year before the event even began. That's how good we're doing right now. We are crushing it right now, and we've got a lot more to go. We need your help. So please, 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 if you're going to make an early donation, you can still do so at livestreamforthecure.com. Otherwise, please join us sometime this weekend on the live stream. We'll have lots of fun games, lots of fun prizes that you can win, and it's just going to be a blast, and it's all going to be to raise money for a good cause. 100% of every single dime that we make goes to the Cancer Research Institute, who makes sure that 86 cents out of every dollar goes toward cancer research. They're not one of these fucking shitty places that takes your dollar and 10 cents of it goes toward cancer research and 90 cents goes into a CEO's pocket or into overhead on some big new fancy facility that nobody, there's just offices and shit in and nobody actually researches anything. It's not that like that. Cancer Research Institute is a fantastic place, 86 cents out of every dollar. That's a hell of an investment, especially when it comes to fighting and stopping cancer. All right, so come out on Friday the 18th, Saturday the 19th, Sunday the 20th, and please, please, please help us make a difference. Help us raise money to smash cancer. But until now...
Amazing segue. Best segue of
the
all
best segue
time.
Of literally all time. Segue. That's it, the ladies best. And gentlemen. Now, Justin, we've got news and we've got things we've got to talk about on this show next week, because next week, baby, Dead Motherfucking Pool 2. And I think
that's
we can
right.
call him Motherfucking Pool, because yeah. I'm pretty sure he's fucked a mother or two. I'm not sure.
He's fucked plenty of mothers. Deadpool, and then the week after that, we have Solo, A Star Wars Story, which surprisingly, early word is that it's pretty fun. So, yeah. I mean, we got a lot stacked up for the next couple of weeks, and then we'll be officially, Nick, in summer movie season, which is one of our favorite seasons outside of Oscar season.
Baby.
So we'll be there. We'll be in the nitty-gritty, the dirty, the mud. All about it.
Got lots and lots of fun stuff coming for you guys. And of course, we've got more Harry Potter spotlights coming up. We've got to get Goblet of Fire
Harry Potter
somewhere.
Harry Potter.
The Prisoner of Azkaban. And I'll be 100% honest with you, that not only the Prisoner of Azkaban, but probably Chamber of Secrets are both going to air during the live stream for The Cure, because I don't really know where I would release one and not the other. But whatever, we might just play the whole thing during live stream. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But please, please, please come out and support the event. It's going to be an absolutely amazing time. Thank you all very, very much for listening. We love you. You guys are amazing. Big special shout out to all of our amazing, amazing patrons, from Destruction in Human Form to the Resident Kaiju Expert to our director, Brennick, to Caleb, Emily. She's not a sponsor anymore. Chip Moore, Tony Dobish, Scott LaVar, all you guys are absolutely amazing. We absolutely love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Paul from The Countdown, I can't believe
How dare you?
I'm sorry, Paul. I know. But all you guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you so, so much. We're sorry that there's no patron-only version of the show this week, but hey, we don't have anything else to give you. Nothing else to give you this week. So thank you very much for listening. For myself, for Justin, for A1, Loy, Steak, Random Button
A-chos,
Push Sound Noise
A1
Sauce
Quay Sauce
Stoy
Sauce
Stoy Sauce
I don't fucking know.
We're just adding random consonants in front of it now. Thank
I
you all
don't know.
Very much for listening, and
we will see you
I want to see you at the movies.
I sucked a dick last night.
That was not appropriate.
This is Epic Film Frog here, and I want to tell you, go fuck yourself. My piggy sucked 37 dicks.
We're clear.
You said the funniest thing when you were talking about the Predator. I said James Cameron and Stan Winston, and you said, I love James Winston.
Take us in.
Oh. Yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are here to talk about Phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Man, he just dropped us in cold. He didn't even count
universe.
At all. I'm not even writing it.
Oh, sorry. I'm Man. Sorry. I didn't realize you needed me to count you in.
I just wasn't ready for it. I just wasn't.
I'm sorry.
That's my fault.
You should have just started us off. I don't know why you're giving me a show.
You need to do it. You need to do it.
Just, man. Here, just. There we go.
Oh,
I'm
goodness.
Out. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Was that good? Like,
that sounded fine. I just are so used to us counting. When you just went into it cold, I was like, what the fuck's happening?
Okay.
We always count.
All right.
He's even sober.
I was so confused. So.
3, 2.
Hello, everyone. How are you? It's Monday evening. I'm ready to drink some beer. And get drunk on the epic motherfucking film guys. Or should I call it epic motherfucking frog guys podcast? Yeah.
Can it be the live stream for Dan's wallet? No. Does your wallet have cancer?
He's texting a sexual partner that
he's probably on Grindr right now.
He's on Grindr all the fucking time, dude.
That's not true.
It totally is. It's you've been so sitting on the couch watching a movie. I've looked over and you've been on Grindr. Or Tinder, whichever one, but I think you've been on Grindr more.
Boy Sauce, have you been
not.
Eating those goddamn Russell Stover dinners again?
I have. I had one just the other night. It was delicious. So chocolatey, so rich, and the chocolate God. Flavor. Because that's what Russell Stover's is, Justin. It's chocolate.
Russell
no,
Stover's.
No, it's not. It's not. It's those microwavable dinners with like 600 milligrams of fucking sodium in it.
I eat very well. I eat fresh foods most of the time.
I eat A1 Loy steak sauce.
That's right.
You yes, eat them all, right?
That's all I eat.
Eat him. He tastes young and fresh. He's not tainted.
It's delicious. But sometimes it's like really salty if you get a man.
More dinner. Hold on.
You'll have to cut that. More sinister?
More
he's
sinister.
This was a podcast from the Podfix Network. You can check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.